Revelation chapter 6.
Revelation chapter 6. I'll begin reading in verse 12. And I beheld when he, and that he is, remember, the Lamb. Yes. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, the revelation of Jesus Christ is clear. And before I make the next statement, let me preface it with this. This is the revelation.
Yes, sir.
It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, first and foremost.
Amen.
And in that, it is a revelation. There are so many people that talk about the types and the symbols. And granted, many of these things may be hard to grasp exactly what they are. But as I've said before, if the reality doesn't at least equal in intensity the symbol, then the symbol is an exaggeration.
Exactly.
You understand that? Yeah. It's an exaggeration. And the Scripture never exaggerates.
Exactly.
It never exaggerates. Amen. This book is a revealing, and it is, by the enablement of the Spirit of God, it is understandable.
Yeah.
Now let me finish the statement and read the first part again. The revelation of Jesus Christ is clear. That great day of God's wrath is coming.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I can say that with the assurance, because this event that I just read has not yet happened. It's just the way it is. Anybody wants to go back into history and say, well, see, when this great convulsion happened, that was it. That's not it. And one of the reasons I know it's not it is because of what I'm about to say in just a few moments. So the revelation of Jesus Christ is clear. That great day of God's wrath is coming, and it's going to be the wrath of God the Lamb.
Yes, sir.
Now, six facts I want to give you as an introduction, before we actually get to the text itself, or I should say not the text itself, but get to my subject. My subject is hiding from the Lamb's wrath.
Yeah.
Hiding from the Lamb's wrath. Six things, first of all. God's wrath is quantified here in this book. Mm-hmm. It's quantified. In other words, this day of God's wrath, that's what it says, doesn't it? For the great day of his wrath is come.
Yeah.
If you read this book, if you have any understanding, and if you have the Spirit of God, when you read this book, you will know that God's wrath, that is the wrath of the Lamb, will be no flash in the pan.
That's right.
It is not going to be some end time, one 24-hour day cataclysm. This book is clear. Six seals are open to begin with.
Yeah.
And with each of these seals, something transpires on the earth.
Yes, sir.
There's one that talks about some things that transpire in heaven.
Yeah.
But after the six seals, the seventh seal is open. Then what's then what happens?
Yeah.
Then more judgment comes.
Yes, sir.
Correct? There is progression here. I mean, argue, is it parallel or is it progressive? Read the book and you can tell.
Yeah,
unless you're trying to defend something you've already thought of in your mind.
Exactly.
It's clear.
Yeah.
The great day of God the Lamb's wrath will be no flash in the pan, but a rolling barrage of continued divine retribution crescendoed by the return of Jesus Christ to this earth.
Amen.
That's what this book teaches. It's right there in black and white, and it is, remember, the revelation.
Yes, sir.
The unveiling.
Yeah.
The setting forth of Jesus Christ. So it's quantified. It's not going to be a flash in the pan. There's not going to be an end time bang judgment. That ain't the way it's going to happen. Secondly, this judgment will cover all classes and all castes. Verse 15 again. Kings, great men, rich men, chief captains, mighty men. Yes, free men, but even what? Bondman. Let us not fall into that trap of thinking, well, God's against the mighty only. God is against all humanity because of our fallen Adam. Rich or poor, bond or free, male or female, black or white, whatever, any way you want to state that. This wrath will cover all classes and all castes. Thirdly, now think about this. Its source will be recognized in that day. Chapter 6, again, verse 16. Fall on us and hide us from the face of what? Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Who is saying that? God's people? The elect? Those with great revelation through the Spirit of God, the Scripture? Who's saying that? All of these castes and types are saying that. Its source will be recognized. Fourthly, its coming will be recognized. Verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come.
Yes, sir.
They will know it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
These, not us.
Yeah.
This is not... It's not even the elect who will be alive in that day that is recognizing these two things.
Yeah.
It's the lost.
Exactly.
The ones upon whom the very wrath is coming. Its source will be recognized. Its coming will be recognized. Fifthly, it will expose the error of human presumption.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 6 and verse 17 again. Or no, am I right? Let me just read it. And they said, what unto the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of the Lamb, the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and here it is, and who shall be able to stand?
That's right.
Right now, men and women, boys and girls, young and old alike, they think they stand.
Yeah, you're right.
They think they're on top of it. I would venture to say that the greatest majority of people upon the face of this earth think they have a standing before God.
Yeah,
don't they?
Yeah.
Earl one time gave us a quote of something that some statistics that he had read in a newspaper or somewhere, where it's like 97% of the people in America profess to be Christians. Now what he said was true, because he read it, what it said, he was reading what they was truly said, but that's a joke. That's a joke. Anybody who reads that and believes those are the facts, that 97% of Americans are Christians, don't know what Christianity is. But here, the very people the wrath is coming upon, it will expose their presumption. They're going to know we can't stand before this.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, sir.
That's clear from the context. And sixthly, it will accentuate the very acts that it is retribution for.
Yeah.
Why is this wrath going to come upon man? Because he is so idolatrous, so rebellious, and so corrupt. Right?
Yeah.
That's why this wrath is going to come upon the inhabitants of this earth. Yet this very thing will accentuate the very acts it is retribution for. Look at it. Look at the idolatrous hope of desperation in chapter 6 and verse 16. And said to what? The mountains and the rocks.
Yeah.
Do you see that? Who are these people going to cry to? The Lamb? No. They're going to know it's the Lamb. They're going to know it's His wrath. They're going to know it's the day. It's come. And what are they going to cry to? The rocks and the mountains. Secondly, under this, it will accentuate the very acts that it is retribution for. They will have a conscientious, active desire to hide from God. Now look at what it says. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich, chief captains, mighty men, every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the rocks and the mountains, fall on us and what? Hide us from the face of Him that sits on the throne.
Amen. Yeah.
They're going to know God Almighty sits on the throne.
Yes, sir.
And in the person of the Lamb.
Yes, sir.
That is amazing to me.
Yeah.
You know that? Because you know what? They don't know that now. Do they? They don't really know that now. But here it's going to be an active refusal of God's face. Hide us from the face of Him that sits on the throne.
Yes, sir.
As I thought about this, I thought, what light? And yet, what darkness?
Exactly. Yeah.
What light? Think of the statements of these people and what they're actually saying, but look at what they nevertheless do.
That's it.
Right?
Yeah.
What light, yet what darkness. What wrath, yet what obstinance.
Exactly.
Isn't it? You see, religion in general, and especially that which is called Christian religion, and even we ourselves sometimes think, well, if God would simply just rain down trouble on this or that person, they'll straighten up. It don't work that way.
That's exactly right.
It don't work that way. Look at Revelation chapter 9, what it says. Revelation chapter 9, just a couple verses. Verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed of these plagues, you can go back and see the plagues it's talking about. Do we believe it means, does it mean what it says? Yeah, it means what it says. Okay. The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders nor of their sorceries nor of their fornications nor of their thefts.
Amen.
Even this great day of wrath will not change these people's hearts.
Exactly.
Will it? Look at another passage, same book, chapter 16. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat. And religion says, well, if God will just get a hold of somebody like that, he'll just pour down his judgment upon someone, they'll turn to him. It just ain't so.
That's right.
Look what it says. Let me find it here now. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give Him glory.
Amen.
Again, what light? And yet what darkness? What wrath and yet what obstinance? And a part of me says, boy, look how bad men will be in that day. Right? And that's what most people preach, don't they?
That's exactly it.
Right? But let me give you four things here. This is no new thing.
That's right.
This is nothing new. It's nothing new at all. One reason, and this is not one of the four, one reason is our corruption is not skin deep. Our corruption goes to the very crux of our being. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and flesh is what? Enmity against God.
Amen.
No matter what falls upon it.
Exactly.
No matter what falls upon it. This is no new thing. Here's the four things. From the genesis of human history, this has been so. Turn back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, just one verse, verse 8. You know what Adam and Eve had done. You know the account here. But look at verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God. Who is that? That's Christ. He is the voice of the Lord God.
Amen.
They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And what do you think that this man, who was created in pristine, who was created upright, and he had just recently failed.
Yes, sir.
Just recently. As far as I know, David, that same day.
Yeah.
Okay? That same day. And what does it say? And Adam and his wife did what?
Yeah.
Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden.
That's right.
They hid from God.
Yes, sir.
Why? Well, we sinned. Of course. But don't you know him?
That's it.
You've sinned and he's still coming to meet you.
Exactly.
You see that?
Yeah.
Here it's not even in wrath. It's the voice of the Lord God. Yahweh God. The covenant God.
Amen.
But what did Adam and Eve do? Right at the get-go. Hid themselves.
Yes, sir.
Hid themselves from who?
Yeah.
Who were they hiding from?
Yeah.
The Lamb.
That's right.
Hiding from Christ amongst the trees of the garden. This ain't no new thing, is it? Man trying to hide himself from the face of him that sits on the throne.
Yeah.
And from the Lamb, it's no new thing. And secondly, turn to Romans chapter 1. We see that this is evidence, the proof of this, that this is no new thing. It's so right at the beginning. Man's been trying to hide from God, hasn't he?
Exactly.
Trying to hide from God. But it's evidenced by the history of human behavior. Romans chapter 1. Now look at it. You know the passage. Romans chapter 1, and let me just begin in verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, how long has the gospel been around for mankind?
Yeah.
Right from the get-go.
Sir, from the beginning. Yeah.
Even after Adam and Eve had hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God, he then immediately does what to them? Preaches the gospel to them. Does he not?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
This is no new thing. The gospel didn't come along with the Apostle Paul.
No.
That's why he said, I received it, Joe.
Exactly.
This ain't something he come up with.
Yeah.
But look at what else it says. Now, here the righteousness of God is revealed. Where? In the gospel.
Yeah.
But look, for the wrath of God, it's also revealed, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
But notice what it says. Not will be.
Yeah.
Right? Most of the time we think, and I include myself as well, most of the time our minds are so conditioned, we think of the Lamb's wrath, of God's wrath, that's all future. Well, there is coming a future day,
yes,
of the Lamb's wrath. But the Apostle Paul says, for the wrath of God is revealed.
Amen.
Is revealed from heaven against what? Not just some ungodliness,
yeah,
but how much of it? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness.
Exactly.
Now look, because. Now, he's going to show us why, and then he'll show us how it's revealed. Okay, get that. Because is a why. Okay, but then he's going to show us how. Here's why. Because that which may be known of God is manifest where? Where?
Yeah.
Even in them.
Yes, sir.
Now you're talking about the depravity of man, that it's in us, but we can't even see it.
Exactly.
We don't acknowledge it. We refuse it.
Yes, sir.
True?
Yeah.
Isn't that what that says? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Why? For God has showed it unto them. Now, I could go in. It doesn't matter how that is.
Exactly.
The fact is, Paul says it is.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's not up to me to try to convince everybody that is the fact. It is the fact.
Exactly.
Somebody said, but if a guy don't know it, if he doesn't understand it, how can he be held accountable? Because God says so.
Yeah.
Because it's in him, because God has showed it to him.
Yeah.
Four, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now that means more than just the creation itself shows it, but from.
Yeah.
Do you see that? From the beginning this was so.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people when they preach that, and even I myself have thought of this as, well, creation manifests God. It does, but he's saying God manifested himself from the creation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Do you see that? From the beginning God has been doing this.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, not by, but from the creation of the world, being understood by the things that are made. So you see now the correlation. You see it? Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Yes.
Because that, here's more of the why. When they knew God,
yeah.
What? They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now let me say, in the beginning, for years, it is quite clear, men understood there was a God in heaven.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
And it's evidenced by the Tower of Babel.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Because they recognize he's up there on the throne, they wanted to get there.
Yeah.
Right?
Because
that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. And what else did they do? And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things.
Yeah.
Wherefore? Because of that. God also gave them up to uncleanness. Do you see that? Do you see her cause and effect? Now he goes on to talk about some very despicable things.
Yeah.
Even homosexuality. But he talks about more than that as well, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, look at it. Look at it. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, biters, it ain't quit yet, back haters of God, despiteful. Let me get a breath, that way we ain't done yet. Proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Take a few breaths, we're not done yet. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. We still ain't done yet, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Unmerciful? You see it? It's going on and on and on.
Exactly.
Because of man's corrupt condition and his treatment of God. God says, I gave them up. You see that? I gave them up to basically to do whatever they wanted to do. And you can read what they did. Men turned to men for sexual pleasure. Women turned to women for sexual pleasure. That's tough language. But you know what men are doing here? They are hiding from the truth of God. Isn't that what it says? Was it talking about? And according to Scripture, God has denounced and exposed false hiding places from the past, and it continues on. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. Listen to what Jeremiah says about it. Jeremiah 23, verse 23. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord? Am not a God afar off? Can any, what? Hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord. Isn't it amazing? In the get-go, When we sinned in our daddy Adam, when they sinned, they made to themselves fig leaves.
Yeah.
Well, Mason, their nakedness was covered. What's the problem?
Yeah.
The problem was more than nakedness.
Exactly.
They sensed it, even though I don't know what all they understood and what they didn't, Mac, but they knew that their sin was much more than, now I'm just naked. Because they were covered, and yet when the voice of the Lord God came along in the cool of the day, what'd they do? They hid themselves amongst the trees of the garden.
Yes, sir.
And we've been doing that ever since.
Yes, sir.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at it. Can any hide himself in the secret places that I should not see him? Saith the Lord, do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I've heard what the prophets said that prophesy what? Lies in my name.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, but somebody that really believes in God, they wouldn't prophesy lies. They do it all the time.
Yes, sir.
They were doing it in Jeremiah's day. They're still doing it today.
Yes, sir.
The majority of preachers in this world lie about God and on God.
Yes, sir.
But let me tell you, it is no hiding place.
Exactly.
Is it?
Exactly.
These people weren't denying God.
No.
They were just saying there is a hiding place from God.
Yeah.
And you know what? God Almighty mocks those who hide themselves from Him.
Yeah.
Doesn't He? Look at Isaiah now. Isaiah chapter 28. In Isaiah chapter 28, beginning in verse 14, God says this about these people. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, because you say this, we have made a covenant with death. I'm not afraid to die. I'm ready. Are you ready? I feel like I'm in Christ, but I still don't feel like I'm ready. I'm ready. I have to be made ready.
Yes, sir.
I know the less I'm made ready, I ain't ready. Oh, I made my decision. That don't mean squat.
Yeah.
Oh, I profess free grace. That don't mean squat.
Yeah.
Now look, because you have said we've made a covenant with death and with hell are we at that agreement. Well, let me tell you, but bad people go to hell. All men outside of Jesus Christ go to hell.
That's right.
Yeah, good or bad. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we've made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. And somebody says, well, people don't really believe in lies, do they? They do all the time.
Yes,
Joe,
sir.
You talked about it. You preached about it. That man was lying on God Almighty and was holding it up to other people as a hiding place.
Amen.
Was he not?
Yeah.
A hiding place. You can say, here's what the scripture says. And they'll say, but I don't believe that. I've got something else.
Yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord God. Now here, you said this. Now God says, here's what I say about the matter.
Exactly.
Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone.
Yeah.
Now immediately, what does God Himself do? What does God Himself preach? Who does God Himself preach? Christ, His Son. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And he that believeth on Him shall not, what? Make haste. He'll not run from God.
That's
what he's talking about. Make haste is the what? Run! What's he going to run from God? What's he going to do? He's going to run to God.
Amen.
That's what he's going to do. Rather than crying out, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb, it is, oh Lamb, receive me. I have no hope outside of you. Look what he says also. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet. In other words, it will be completely straight and completely square according to God Almighty's dictates, or you will be damned.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about. Well, you know, there are people that actually think, well, but in the end, God's got to just say, but well, how can he send people to hell? He'll send them to the lake of fire, not just hell.
Yeah.
And look, now look, look. Judgment will I lay the line, the righteous to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the what? The hiding place. What? Your hiding place in lies. And let me tell you something. If you're hiding in a profession, it's a lie. Because you're not saved by a profession. You're saved by Christ, or you're not saved at all. And if you're saved by Christ, you'll run to Christ. You'll love Christ. You'll worship Christ. You'll adore Christ. You'll serve Christ. And on and on and on and on. Amen. And that's just the way it is. You don't, you're in a false refuge.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. I don't care if it's me. That's what it's all. That's how serious it is. Look. And your covenant with death shall be what? Disannulled. Now who do you think here is doing the disannulling?
Yeah, exactly.
God is. Your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. This lets me know God Almighty plans on doing this.
Yeah.
Does he not? From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. Somebody's going to come along and warn you about it, and you can't do a blessed thing about it.
Exactly.
You see that?
Yeah.
It's only going to confound your judgment, and I'm going to send people to you to tell you and warn you about it, and you know what? Just going to make it worse for you.
Exactly.
Isn't that what that says?
Yeah.
Why? Because the bed's shorter than the man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself up in it. In other words, your bed and your covers just won't cut it when it comes to God.
Exactly.
What's a bed and a cover? It's a resting place. Right?
Yes, sir.
It's a resting place. God Almighty says he mocks those who hide themselves from him.
Yeah.
Now, apart from the personal gift of God Almighty's grace, that is me.
Yeah.
That is me. Because I, just like my daddy Adam, will hide myself from the presence of the Lord amidst his creation.
Yes, sir.
That's what man has been doing ever since,
yeah, exactly.
Doesn't he? Now, there is a distinction here. Turn to Daniel now, chapter 10. If I can find Daniel. There it is. Daniel chapter 10. There is a distinction here. God Almighty does give some people grace.
Yes, sir.
But God Almighty does not give all men grace.
Exactly.
Daniel chapter 10, you will see this. Daniel sees a vision of a man.
Yeah.
You know who that man is? Guess who that man is.
Yeah.
Now there are those who want to debate, was this really... No, come on, give it a break. Get off of your high horse. You know who this man is. He's Ezekiel's man that sat on that throne that was on top of the wheels within the wheels. That's that man that sat on that throne that Ezekiel seen in Ezekiel chapter 1. Many of the same illustrations are given by Daniel that was seen by Ezekiel. Wait a minute. This is the same one that John seen in the book of the Revelation. Look at the illustrations. Many of the same illustrations is about this one. Who is it? This is Jesus Christ. And look at what it says, verse 7, where I want to start at. And I, Daniel, alone. I want you to think about that.
Yes, sir.
And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell on them so that they, what? Fled to hide themselves.
Amen.
You see that? Now think about it. They recognized something,
yeah.
But they didn't see the man.
Exactly.
See that?
Yeah.
Something happened, David, that frightened them out of their bunkers. Yeah. But what happened to them? They went and hid themselves.
Yes, sir.
But what happened to Daniel? Look, therefore I was left alone. And let me tell you, when God Almighty saves you, when God Almighty begins to convert you, that's where he'll put you, all by yourself.
Yes, sir.
You will feel like you're all alone. If you think you've come in with the rest of us, you ain't come in.
Exactly.
Because God Almighty brings his sheep in and calls them how?
Yeah.
By name.
Amen.
Individually. Personally. Yes. One at a time, even if he does 10,000 in one day. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. And I tell you what, did he say, "Whoo, boy, I love Jesus"? Is that what he says? Huh? No. He says, "And there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength." Have you been there?
Exactly.
If not, you ain't seen the vision. If not, you're hiding in a false refuge. Because you'll see it this way. Same thing happened to Paul, didn't it? There was a lot of guys traveling to Damascus with him. They heard something. But what happened? It wasn't the same for them as it was for him.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. And that's the way it always is. Yeah. Yet, look. Yet, isn't that a good yet? Now let me tell you, when your comeliness melts to corruption and you find yourself on your face in the dust, that's not a pleasant place to be. But it's a good place to be.
Exactly.
Yet I heard the voice of his words. Yes, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face. He still ain't went nowhere yet, has he? In a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand.
Yeah.
A hand. What's a hand?
Yeah.
It's a human feature.
Yes, sir.
Behold, a hand touched me, and now what happens? Now he begins to be lifted up.
Yeah.
Do you see that? Once what? He's touched by the hand of Christ.
Amen.
You hear? He touches you. And what? Then you begin to come up.
Exactly.
Behold, a hand touched me, which set me, but still where? On my knees.
Yeah, exactly.
The knees is better than on your face, but you're still always going to be where?
Yeah.
On your knees.
Exactly.
And upon the palms, my hands. And he said unto me, isn't this great? You remember the time when God said this to you through his word, through his gospel? Oh, Joe, a man greatly beloved. Oh, Mary, a woman greatly beloved. You remember that? When God began to whisper that to you through his gospel, do you remember that? If not, you have a false hiding place. He said unto me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and now do what?
Yeah.
Now you stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. That's a glorious thing when you go through that, isn't it?
Amen.
And when he had spoken this to me, I stood.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, you will stand when he enables you to stand. But how will you still stand?
Exactly.
What's that next phrase? What next word? Trembling.
Amen.
See, if you can ever get over this, you never went through this. I'm not saying, again, I say, why do I say this? Because I know people think I'm mean.
Yeah.
And I am.
There you go.
But I'm not trying to be. God Almighty is far more severe than I am.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And he's just when he does it.
Exactly.
I'm often, probably all the time, but at least often, David, unjust when I'm that way. But he's severe and he's still just. But yet even, he says, stand. That's a glorious thing. Because this one started Daniel out on his face. Then he put him on his knees. Then he said, now you can stand. But Daniel still had to stand how? Trembling. Then said he unto me, look at it. You remember that? Fear not. Fear not. What? Daniel.
Amen.
It's still personal, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and look, and to chasten thyself before thy God. Mm-hmm. Daniel wasn't running from God.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel wasn't perfect either, was he?
Yeah.
But Daniel ran where? He ran to God.
Exactly.
to chasten thyself before thy God. Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. And I'll just stop there. We see there's more there. But isn't that a glorious thing? God Almighty said through the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 6, we have a place of refuge. It's a place of refuge where God Almighty swore and cannot lie. And so that the heirs of promise would know there is a hiding place. It don't use that word, but that's what a refuge is, isn't it?
Yes,
refuge is a hiding place, isn't it?
Yeah.
That we can have hope that it fled to the refuge that has been set before us.
Yeah.
Isn't that glorious?
Yeah.
Got to begin to wind this up. There are some false hiding places. Let me just give you four of them. Duty faith. Duty faith. In other words, there are people who actually think, my faith is to show God how faithful I really am. God, if you got it, God gave it to you.
Exactly.
Faith ain't to prove to God anything. Faith is to prove to us what God has done.
Amen.
That's what it's about. Faith is believing God, not God knowing the sure, not God being assured of me. But that's what people talk about, duty faith. In other words, if you'll have faith, God will save you. No, if you've got faith, God has saved you.
Amen.
Amen.
That's if you got faith.
Exactly.
How do I know I got faith? Have you been where Daniel was?
Yeah.
If you ain't been where Daniel was, I don't care what you're hiding in. I don't care how doctrinally accurate it is. It's a false hiding place.
Amen. That's it.
Duty faith. Morality. There are people who hide in morality. They think they're hid from God's wrath.
Oh yeah.
Morality will condemn you.
Amen.
If you think you're going to be able to hide from God by it. But what about free will?
Yeah.
Free will is one of the most blasphemous false doctrines that exists on the face of this earth. And how do I know that? One thing, if Hollywood believes it, you ought to reject it when it comes to an honor of God. Hollywood, free will, free will, free will. Even James says, what we ought to say is if God will, tomorrow we will what? First of all, live.
Yeah, amen.
And then do this or that.
Exactly.
Well, that means everything or anything. If the Lord will, tomorrow you'll do that. If he leaves you alive to do it. Think of it. Free will, man's will. Even our Lord, who was absolutely perfect. And I don't have time to go into it, but even our Lord in that garden was not against the will of the Father. He was not seeking to banish the will of the Father. But even he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done.
Exactly.
So what the squat good is free will?
Exactly.
If even the Lord of glory in human flesh says, God, not my will, but your will be done, then why do I want my will? Because what could free will be other than man's will?
Yeah.
But Scripture, at least more than this, but at least twice, says it two times. It ain't got nothing to do with man's will.
Amen.
Those that believe in him, they were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. And Romans chapter 9 makes it clear. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Free will is a false hiding place.
Yes, sir.
And you hide in it, you'll be damned.
That's exactly right.
You mean I can't believe in free will and go to glory? You think God wants you to come to glory and brag about your free will to him? Look at the last part of the Revelation.
Yeah.
It's all about the Lamb's will.
Yeah.
The Lamb's light. The Lamb being the foundation. God Almighty, not us.
Amen.
And law works.
Yeah.
Law works. There are people who are immoral but still think they're keeping the law.
Yeah.
At least them giving it a good try.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kind of like a Hail Mary.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And you know what? You look, go back to Isaiah, read it again. Hail Marys won't cut it with God.
That's right.
He says, I've laid in Zion a foundation. A sure foundation.
Yeah.
And he says about that rock, you know what? It's going to be offensive to some folk.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All of these things are accentuated by the arch enemy It's accentuated. This is man's condition by nature. That man will, even in the beginning, we hit ourselves. Adam hit himself, didn't he? Eve hit themselves. All throughout human history, man has been seeking something other than God himself as the remedy. When God alone is the remedy.
Amen.
He's the only answer. But man always seeks something else other than God alone, especially in the person of his Son. But this problem is accentuated by the archenemy. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4. And man, I don't have time to deal with this as I had thought about it, but that's all right. You don't have to have me to explain it to you. And that's another message in itself. 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And that's the only way you can keep going in this thing.
Yeah.
Receiving God's mercy. But have renounced the, what? Hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the, what? The truth.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, people don't like the truth. No, people hate the truth.
Yes, sir.
But as the children of God, we are to continually stand forth and speak the truth of God and lie not. Or if needs be, let God be true and every man a liar.
Exactly.
But still, God be true.
Yes, sir.
Look, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And let me tell you, whenever you talk to someone and the subject of God comes up or is announced or a door is open, David, then speak the truth of God in Christ.
Amen.
Even if it ticks them off.
Yeah.
Even if it drives them backwards into anger and rebellion and obstinacy. Because that's what even Christ the Lamb will do one day with his wrath.
Amen.
He will bring down his wrath on the inhabitants of this earth. And it won't bring them to bow down to him. It will drive them backwards in their obstinacy.
Yeah, that's right.
So let us not be afraid of that. But people just won't like me. They probably really don't like you anyway. I mean, you know, most of us are not really likable people. The only time when people really like you is when you act like them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Isn't it? The people I like the best are the people I think that are most like me. And you know that's true about yourself. You get a hold of, you get around somebody that dislikes what you like and they like what you dislike. You just don't get along, do you? But let me tell you, when it comes to the truth of Christ, that's the way it's going to be with the majority of people in this world.
Yes, sir.
And what they're going to hate even worse is this is a clay pot that God's using to tell them that with.
Yep.
Like I've said before, God will send you a sinner to a sinner to tell that second sinner that they're a sinner and they need to come to Christ.
Exactly.
And men hate that. Mm-hmm. Who do you think you are? It ain't about me. Oh, oh my dear human soul, it ain't about, oh my human companion, it ain't about me.
Amen.
It's about him.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. People want to try, here's another false refuge, but I've seen you do this. You think God's going to excuse you for that?
Yeah.
That's a refuge of lies.
Yeah, exactly.
Now look, but if our gospel be hid,
yeah.
Wait a minute, now, yeah, men hide themselves, but what now? Even the gospel's hid. That's a tough one there.
Yeah,
right? But if our gospel be hid, and it's rhetorical.
Yeah.
It is. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Lost. Well, I thought that's the ones we were trying to save. Right? I mean, the lost people are the ones that salvation's for.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. But even the gospel's hid to them. It was hid to me at one time.
Yes,
and I was in a refuge of lies.
Yes, sir.
I found myself. I thought, I'm for sure as heaven as if I'd already there. I raised my hand when preachers asked me if that was true.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do that stupidity.
Yeah.
Huh? Why? Because the gospel was hid.
Exactly.
But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That was you and me both at one time.
Yes, sir.
No matter how much we believe today, that was me at one time.
Yeah.
in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. Even the gospel didn't do me any good at one time. That's what this book says. That's what we stand. Am I denigrating the gospel? No, I'm preaching the truth of God. That's what. That's how bad. It ain't how. It wasn't because the gospel was bad. It wasn't because the gospel was weak. Because I'm that bad. It's because I was that dead. It's because I was that blind. It's because I was that incorrigible. It's because I was that corrupt. Oh, but look at what he says. For we preach not ourselves. People just don't. They still don't get that. You can try to tell somebody the truth and they will point their finger back at you all the time. We do that to one another. Yeah. Even as believers. Now don't we? Somebody, a believer, will come along and tell you, that's wrong. You shouldn't have done that. But who do you think you are? That ain't the point, ding dong.
Yeah. That's exactly
it. Huh? We ain't preaching us. Exactly. We're preaching Christ. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake, for God. Now look, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. What's he talking about there?
Yeah,
way back yonder. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Yeah. That God, that's what it's talking about. Not the God. We were blind to the gospel.
Yeah, exactly.
It took God himself personally shining in my heart. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Where's that at? In the gospel.
Yes, sir.
In the gospel. But it took God Almighty shining in my heart for that to happen.
Yes.
Why? Because I was blinded by the devil and as corrupt could be. But we have this treasure where? In earthen vessels.
Yeah.
In earthen vessels.
Yeah.
What treasure? Now, a lot of people say preaching of the gospel. That's true. It's an earthen vessel that's doing the preaching. But this glorious work of grace has been done in a clay pot.
Exactly.
That's the context now. Yeah. God Almighty himself has shined in a clay pot. God Almighty stooping down, Mason, to shine his light in a clay pot.
Yes, sir.
Huh? What's a clay pot?
Yeah.
Dirt.
Yeah.
Clay. Huh?
Yeah.
The basest things of the ground.
Yeah.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? That the excellency of the power may be what? Of God and not of us. Now, bless God, there's a hiding place, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
There's a hiding place. But here's even one more. Bear with me. Here's even one more. Now, turn over to it. Matthew chapter 11 and get ready for it. Get ready for it. Now, yeah, we see. Look how corrupt we are. Even from the get-go, look, we're hiding from God. Hiding from God. Hiding from God. Right? And then on top of that, Joe, is the God of this world blinding us.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
On top of that. But that ain't all there is to it. Look at it. Matthew 9 and verse 25. And at that time, what's he talking about? Judgment coming, right? And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid. That's tough language.
Yes, sir.
On top of all that, God Almighty hid these things from some folk. Isn't it? O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Now, but notice, it's not because babes are better. Get off that high horse. He still had to reveal it to babes.
Exactly.
Right? He had to reveal it still to the babes. Why? Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Amazing, isn't it? Proverbs 25 and verse 2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing.
Yeah.
That's a proverb.
Yes, sir.
That's from the wise man. It's the glory of God to hide things.
Exactly.
Why? Because it's his business.
Yeah.
We don't deserve it. We're not due it. But you know what? That's why people hate that. Why? Because they think they deserve it. Because they think God owes it to them.
Oh, yeah.
But when you know God don't owe it to you, you know God's right to keep it from you.
Exactly.
But when he does show it to you,
yes, sir,
it makes grace for what it really is.
Amen.
Grace. Unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor from God.
Amen.
It's not just I didn't deserve it. I deserve the opposite of it.
Exactly.
But look. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me. Isn't that what he said?
Yes, sir.
Come to me. You want to find a hiding place? A hiding place we must have.
Yes, sir.
But he's the only hiding place that'll stand.
Amen.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Not only will you be able to hide,
yeah,
you'll be able to rest.
Amen.
Isn't that glorious? Take my yoke upon you. Let me tell you. Oh, he's going to set you free.
Yeah.
He's going to set you free to be his slave.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And if he ever does, you'll be glad for it.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All to have revealed to me the hiding place from the Lamb's wrath is the Lamb himself.
Amen.
Isn't it?
Amen.
The very one they were trying to hide from is the one you're supposed to run to.
Exactly.
Now you talk about depravity.
Yeah.
And that was me by nature.
Exactly.
That was you by nature. Yeah. Think of it. The very one, Joe, that is my judge is also my Savior.
Yeah.
Run to him. But what if he damns me? He's going to damn you.
Yeah.
Unless he saves you.
Exactly.
Run to him. You must.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Run to him. He's going to damn you. But if I just hide from him, it ain't going to work. He's going to damn you.
Exactly.
Run to him. Do you need a hiding place?
Yeah.
Run to him. Father, teach us these things, not as mere doctrine, but as the reality of our soul by God-given faith, revealed to us in the gospel. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.